Good morning. It is good to be back with you. Thank you, Carol and Bev, for leading us in worship this morning. And if you're on Facebook, did you check in? Let people know where you are? At Lakeside Church? If you got Facebook, you all should check in every Sunday that you're here. Let your friends know that there's a church here. And it'll be, you know, give an opportunity sometimes. And they might ask you about it, or you can talk to them about it. But it's another way to get the word out. Another way, and it's free. You have to pay for that advertising. Well, happy Father's Day to you fathers. It's good to be here with you today. Thank you for coming to church today. And I have to correct the video that we saw, Dave. Who's the shortest person in the Bible? What did the video say? No, it's not Nehemiah. It's Bildad the Shuhite. The shoe height. You get it? I love those kind of jokes. They're great. Okay, well, just so you know that I'm qualified to speak on Father's Day, I have a son, three daughters, three sons-in-law, nine grandchildren, and too many cats. People used to tell Mary and me that four kids was a big family. We had three girls and a boy. How many of you grew up in a large family? Can you see your hand? Good, okay, good. We're not the only ones who have a big family. My dad had six boys and two girls in his family. I thought four kids isn't a big family, right? But let me tell you a little secret. When you have a large family, at any given moment, there is usually one that's not happy, even in a pastor's family, okay? Even a pastor's family. Some of you may think that your mom and dad were too hard on you growing up. But I'll let you in another little family secret. Parents don't care about justice. They just want peace and quiet. Can I get an amen? So if you're a parent, yes, right? Am I right? Yes. All right, well, before we turn to the Word of God, let's talk to the God of the Word. Would you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, as we celebrate our earthly fathers today, we thank you for being our heavenly Father. I pray for each father here today that you would give us your wisdom. Help us to please you. Help us to be full of grace and truth and loving kindness like you are. I pray for those who had a difficult relationship with their father and for those that wanted to become a father but could not, that you would comfort them and give them your peace. We also ask for you to comfort fathers in our community that are grieving over the loss of a father. May the peace of your presence and the hope of eternal life in Christ bring them comfort today. Now as we turn our thoughts to the Bible, your holy word, please open the eyes of our hearts to see your truth. And let us make much of Jesus. For we ask this in our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, I want to begin with some scripture today. From John chapter 14, verses 15 to 23. I'm going to be using the NIV version. I'll also have it on the screen. Jesus is speaking here, and Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. I want you to listen for the words of fatherhood in this passage, okay? If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, but because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And then he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. This is the word of God. Now, how many times did you hear Father in that passage? Were you counting? Or four times. And then he mentions orphans, which are like children, and we can have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. You know, folks, the fatherhood of God is a predominantly Christian idea. You don't find that much in other places or other religions in the world. Do you remember the movie Kindergarten Cop with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You all remember that movie? That was a good movie, wasn't it? In it, he poses as a kindergarten teacher to catch the criminal father of a student. What he goes through makes me cringe because I have taught kindergarten. But I want you to watch a clip from it because of a question that he asks the children. Okay, so listen for that.
Are these all your lunches? You mean you eat other people's lunches? Stop it!
Now we are going to do something extremely fun. We're going to play a wonderful game called Who is My Daddy and What Does He Do? Yes?
Is your daddy a fireman? He's probably big. Is he a wrestler?
Is he a basketball coach?
No.
What's the matter?
Oh, I have a headache.
It might be a tumor.
It's not a tumor. It's not a tumor at all. What I meant was, you tell me, who is your daddy and what does he do?
Oh, okay. So let me ask you that question. Who is your daddy? Do you know who your real father is? If you do, you're part of an ever-decreasing group. Until a few years ago, you know what? We didn't talk about birth mothers or baby daddies, did we? I didn't hear those words growing up. But now, today, it's part of everyday conversations in America. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 43% of all children in America live in a fatherless home. 72% of African-American children are born to a single mother. Today, 1 in 5 women have kids with multiple dads. In the African-American community, it's 3 out of 5 mothers have kids with multiple dads. And if they know who their real father is, these children often have a strained relationship with their father. Parenting is certainly different today than when I became a father. I don't know about you. And whether we want to admit it or not, fatherlessness is an epidemic in America. And our hearts go out to the children who don't know their dads or who have absentee fathers. But is their experience really that different from ours? Do you know who your real father is spiritually? Because we don't just have a physical father. The Bible says we also have a spiritual father. So let's think about that for a few minutes. Maybe you've heard people say, well, we're all God's children. Have you heard people say that? We're all God's children. Maybe you've said it. We're all God's. But if that were true, then everyone would be full of love and light and truth, right? Because that's what God is like. God, because kids are like their fathers, right? But instead, we look at our world and we see people full of hate, murder, deceit, gossip, and the list could go on, right? So what's up with that? Well, I'll tell you. It's because God is not everyone's father. God is not everyone's spiritual father. Not everyone who says the Lord's Prayer is really God's child. Truth be told, someone else is their father. In Jesus' day, some very religious people claimed to be God's children. And these religious people didn't like Jesus at all. They wanted to kill him. They claimed the only father we have is God himself. And so Jesus looked at them and he said, you know what, if God was your father, you would love me because I have come from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. You belong to your father, the devil, he said, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You know what? Jesus shocked them. He shocked them when he said that they were of their father, the devil. They were so mad about that that they decided right then and there they wanted to kill him. And that revealed the devil was their father because he said he was a murderer from the beginning. So that's who motivated Cain to kill his brother Abel. Huh. What about you? Who do you listen to? Who do you please? Who do you serve? Who is your daddy? You know, as children, we learn to obey our fathers. When we mature, most of them still try to please them because we want them to be proud of us, don't we? If your father is still alive, you want to be proud of you. And on top of that, we often see our fathers reflected in the way that we do things, the way we speak, the way we work. I love this picture. Isn't this something? You ever heard like father, like son? Yeah, that's a reason for that, right? There's a reason for that. Some even follow their dads into their careers. So when others listen to you and they see what you do, who would they think is your spiritual father? Is your life full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, self-control? What do we call those things? The fruits of the God Spirit. Is your life full of those things? Or is your life full of anger, gossip, hate, envy, and deceit? And I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. I'm just asking you to think. What's your life full of? You know, you ever notice when some people get hurt or get upset, some of the wrong kind of words come out? You know, someone once said that if you kick a bucket, whatever's in it spills out. You know, sometimes that really shows what's in us. So who do you listen to? Who do you please? Who do you serve? Who's your daddy? You know, Bob Dylan, a songwriter from my generation, wrote a song a while back. It was called You Gotta Serve Somebody. You gotta serve somebody. He observed it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. If you ever haven't heard that song, it's worth going and finding on the internet and listening to. You gotta serve somebody. You know, it was Jesus who first said that God wants to be our Father. Up until then, people feared God, but they didn't know how much he loved them. Maybe you feel like you don't deserve God's love. And we don't. None of us do, if we're honest, do we? We don't deserve God's love. But that's why Jesus came. The Bible says he lived the life we should have lived and died the death that we should die for our sins. The Bible says this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You know what that means? That means that God accepted Jesus' death on the cross as payment for my sin and yours. That's good news. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ, he will forgive you because he loves you. You know, if you're not sure that God is your Father in heaven today, here's how the Bible says you become a child of God. It says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And Jesus added, he said, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. If you had a difficult relationship with your earthly father, I'm very sorry. But the Bible has good news. God wants to be your father. He wants to be your father and for you to be his child. He is a loving, forgiving father waiting with open arms to welcome his errant children home. That's how the Bible pictures him. No matter who you are or what you've done, if you repent and come to Jesus, you will find forgiveness. Will you let God fill up that empty place in your heart? He can and he will. He loves you and he promises never to leave you or forsake you. And you know what? God has never made a promise he won't keep. Sometimes our earthly parents let us down. I don't know how many times, you know, the kids would say, but you promised, you know. Things change, right? And sometimes we're prevented from keeping our promises. But God has never made a promise he won't keep. Jesus said his followers would hear his voice and know him. Do you hear God's voice today? He's saying, I love you. Come to me. Rest in me. Now, some of you are thinking, well, I'm already a child of God. I follow Jesus. That's wonderful news. What if God is your father? What if he is your father? Now that Jesus has saved you and you've made it into God's family, what's next? What else is there to do here? You know, just go to church until we go to heaven? Is that all we're supposed to do? There was a man who risked his life to rescue an 8-year-old boy from drowning at the beach. Traumatized but safe, the boy said, "Thank you for saving my life." The man looked straight in the young boy's eyes and he said, "That's okay, son. Just make sure it was worth saving." How can we live so our lives are worth saving? Have you ever thought about that? It's wonderful to know that our sins are forgiven, that Jesus saved us, but how can we live to please him? It's just another way of saying that. How can we live so that our lives were worth saving? I think the answer might be in an old TV show. I wonder how many of you remember this.
Here are Robert Young and Jane Wyatt with Eleanor Donahue, Billy Gray, and Lauren Chapin in Father Knows Best.
How many of you actually watched that show? Good, I'm not the only one here. It's black and white, so that tells you how old it was, right? Father Knows Best was about insurance agent Jim Anderson and his wife Margaret raising a son and two daughters in a typical Midwestern town. Do you remember the name of the town? Springfield. It was just, they say, one of a slew of middle class, oh, I guess you'd call them a sitcom, right? In it, moms were moms, kids were kids, dads were dads, and fathers knew best. They attended church. They said grace at their meals. Look at the way they dressed for the meals, right? But some called it idealized and overly rosy. I can remember watching it as a boy and thinking, well, that's normal. That's the way my life was growing up, right? Maybe yours was like that too. That's where our lives were. So why am I talking about an old TV show? The reason is in the title. Father Knows Best. Unlike today's sitcoms, where dad is often a dummy or a comedian of some kind, Jim Anderson's children respected their father because usually he was right. He was right. Typically it happened after they tried doing something their own way and they failed. And once in a while, dad got it wrong, but not often. Not often. But before you smile and nod, let me just ask you, do you really believe that your heavenly Father knows best? Do you really believe that? Even though Jim Anderson didn't always know best, we have a heavenly Father who does. Trouble is, we don't always listen to him like we should. You know, the Bible is full of people who might have sung that song with Frank Sinatra, "I did it my way," right? People like Jacob or Moses or Jonah. In the New Testament, we have people like Peter and the sons of thunder. You remember them, James and John? Or how about Saul of Tarsus? Wanted to do things their way. They thought they knew best, just like we do sometimes, right? Let's be honest. But through trial and error, they discovered that, as the Bible says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. God, it turns out, does always know best, doesn't he? Yes, he does. What about you and me? Usually we rely on our own opinions, don't we? Or maybe our friends' advice, just like Rehoboam did. You remember Rehoboam, don't you? Sure you do. Or maybe you don't. You do. You just read it. Okay, Rehoboam was King Solomon's son. And what do we know about King Solomon? What's the one thing everybody knows about King Solomon? Wisest king ever lived in the Old Testament, right? Wisest king ever. Imagine having him for a father. When Rehoboam, his son, became king after him, he had a tough decision to make about taxing his people. So what would he do? Would he listen to God or would he listen to his friends? The Bible says that Rehoboam ignored the godly advice he was given and instead listened to his friends. And what was the result? The result was he split his father's kingdom in two and even got the little part on the bottom. He didn't get the big part. And a lot of people were hurt. It was a very sad day. What's the lesson there? When God speaks, we should listen to him, right? When God speaks, we should listen. You know, one reason the Bible records the lives of people like that is so that we can learn from them. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians. We can learn mistakes to avoid, and we learn the benefit and the blessing of obeying God. So let me ask you again, who is your daddy? Jesus said that God isn't everyone's spiritual father, but he can be yours if you will come to him through faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you waver between following Jesus and following the world and its pleasures. Is that you? If so, then maybe it's time you got off the fence you've been sitting on and make a commitment to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord with your whole heart, soul, and mind, and strength. I invite you to do that today and follow Jesus. Not your friends, not your boss. Follow Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only master who will satisfy you completely. And if you fail him, he died on the cross to forgive you. Folks, listen to me. Your friends won't do that. Your boyfriend or girlfriend won't do that for you. Your wife or husband won't do that for you. Your boss won't do that for you. Only Jesus Christ did that for you. So if you will turn to God and say, Father, please accept me and adopt me, not because of what I have done, but because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. If you will do that, the Bible says you can become a child of God that very day. And then once we're part of God's forever family, we can trust that he knows best and obey him. You know what's interesting is that some people do ask what God wants them to do. They listen in church, they read their Bibles, but when God answers, they don't obey. Why not? Well, maybe the answer isn't the one they wanted. One of my favorite authors, A.W. Tozer, said this. He said, most Christians don't hear God's voice because we've already decided we aren't going to do what he says. Ouch. That hurts, because it's true sometimes, isn't it? Often people hope that God will give them permission to do what they wanted to do, even if it hurts them or others. But God loves us more than that, folks. The life he calls us to live isn't just about obedience. It's also the path of blessing, because he wants to bless you. A lot of people's picture of God is that he's standing up there looking over the balcony of heaven, watching us. And as soon as he sees somebody having a good time, he says, now cut that out. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible lays out a path of blessing. He wants to bless us. If you've got children, don't you love to give them good things? Where do you think you got that from? Our Heavenly Father. When God forbids or denies our request, it's usually to prevent us pain or something worse. I struggled with that when I was younger. I thought I knew what God needed to do, and you know what? I didn't mind giving him instructions. I called it prayer, but you know, I'm sure you don't have that problem. But what I learned is that my Heavenly Father does know best. Jesus said, if you love me, you will what? Obey or keep my commandments. Then he asks this. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? It's a good question. We all struggle with that. How would you answer Jesus? Maybe when you were saved, you were serious about following the Lord, but since then, maybe you've taken a detour. Maybe you've been enchanted with the world's delights, or maybe you've been overcome by doubts. Maybe there's been some crisis that tested your faith like Peter. Maybe you even denied Jesus like Peter. I don't know. But no matter where you are in your walk of faith, Jesus showed us that God is faithfully waiting as your loving Father for you to come back to him. Thankfully, our God is patient. No matter what you've done, if we return to him in repentance, he forgives us through Christ and he gives us a new beginning. God is the God of new beginnings. He doesn't just give us second chances. He gives us third and fourth and fifth. Some of us can give testimony to that, can't we? He's very patient. Listen, folks, our Heavenly Father always knows best. He loves you. He wants to bless you. So what's the takeaway today? You've tried it your way. Do it God's way. Follow Jesus every day. Make Jesus your Lord. Serve him. Obey him. Because our Heavenly Father knows best. Friends, listen to the Bible. It's good for your soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being for us a true model of what it means to be a good father. Loving, forgiving, you give us guidance, you meet our needs every day. You're faithful even when we are not. Father, help us to learn from you and to be more like you. Encourage us today. Help us to be the fathers that we need to be, those of us that are fathers, the grandfathers we need to be. And Lord, we do pray for our children and grandchildren, especially those that are far away from you. Lord, that you'll draw them back to Jesus. Help us all to follow him. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts. Be with you all. Amen.